Welcome to Bounce Back. My name's Yvonne Fletcher from NY Events and you're listening to DRN1, Bounce Back's a fun talkback show. And today I have comedian Jared Moroney. How are you, Jared?
Good. Thanks for having me. We've got our coffee, friends for life.
I know. Well, everyone always says to me you can't make friends with salad, so I do it with coffee.
Definitely. I agree.
Yeah, I'm vegetarian, so that's why. So
coffee brings people together.
It does, right? And it makes you feel really good.
It does.
We're having a bit of pre-show laughter about the last time I seen you in Squirrelly. And it involved one of my children, which is quite funny. My son's 15 years old, towers over me. He's very, very tall. And then, Jared, do you want to share what happened to you in Squirrelly?
We were doing a show up in Kalamunda, Squirrelly's. I was opening for him. And your son has a more masculine voice than me and Squirrelly. We both sound like we're still waiting to go through puberty and we felt like betas next to your son and his alpha.
And he does. He's very tall but very lanky.
He baited some grown men that day.
He was very amused by that, I've got to say. I think it made him stand even taller. Jared, we'll ask you a few little questions about definitely. Your background. When did you start in comedy?
I think I first did my gig in 2010, right?
Well, that's some time ago.
Yeah, it was the Laugh Resort, but it was the old school Laugh Resort, okay? I had never been to comedy. The night started, have support acts.
Yep.
The pro goes on. Everyone's drunk about 2.5 hours later. Time for the open micers to get on.
How did that make you feel then?
Basically, that first set was just me doing impersonation of Michael J. Fox because I was shaking.
Oh, you poor thing.
Hey, it was a good baptism of fire. It was like being thrown in the river with a current and you got to sink or swim.
Yeah.
It's not like that now, but it was good.
Yeah. And so what made you want to do it then?
I've just always wanted to try comedy and I needed to try something to being sober. And I thought, I can't do that and not be sober. Otherwise, I'll be running to the toilet every 5 minutes in a small bladder. So I wanted a challenge. So honestly, that's why, yeah.
Well, that's really cool. When you say you wanted to do something sober, it's actually really scary, isn't it, when you first jump up? So it's quite brave to put yourself in that realm.
Well, thank you. I mean, it's just I just made the decision it's going to be done. Whatever happens, just you know what I mean? And, like, you've done it now, and now you understand when people go, when's the secret, when's the best time? There isn't. Just do.
Yeah, I think so. And you're going to go through so many different emotions at different times. Sometimes I get really, really scared because I don't like a lot of focus on me. And then other times I feel okay. So, yeah, it just depends on where you're sitting. But, yeah, it has been a really interesting journey. But I've loved to – or really, I don't know if I love, that's the wrong word. I like stepping into your shoes as a comedian just to feel what it's like and then go, okay, I get it and I can be a bit more empathetic and understanding and help people through that journey a little bit better.
And see, now you can probably understand, now that you're doing it, you know, before when you were announcing 5 minutes to the show, you guys do great shows. And, you know, I'm just saying this now, your voice was a little bit quiet, whereas if you got a comedian to do it, but your show's still amazing, but now that you're doing it, your voice is probably more stronger when you're doing that announcement, because otherwise it's like a little mouse, but it's still weird to say, hey, girl, you do an amazing show, but you should get in a comedian, you know what I mean?
It's it's not that I've done that, Jared. All I've done is said to the, you know, sound tech, hey, pump my voice up, I've got a little voice.
Yeah. No, but unless you had been on stage, it would have been weird to try and say that to you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Even though it's just, yeah, so.
No, I get it. I remember the feedback you gave me that time. I was getting a lot of feedback, actually. And part of that, was part of my journey in actually investing in a voice coach.
Yeah.
And I did that because I really wanted to improve on and – because a lot of my voice issues was because I was so nervous and I was shaking.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it was so bad. But I was like, no, I'm going to beat this. I'm going to, you know, I can do it.
Yeah. Well, it's almost like a military thing, like, you know, keep your arm and mic there. Because as you know, people could be doing it for years or the audio's not good, well, you know, voice to the mic, keep your arm there, like.
Yeah, true.
I mean, I'm even good. I don't know what half the time where my arm is, but probably helps. I'm a rancor.
So 2010 you started.
Yep.
And then where did you go from there? Did, like, well, how has your journey been?
Just doing stand-up, basically. I don't think I've been accumulating, thinking too much of it. Just trying to be conscious of doing more things. Like last year did Fringe for the first time in December.
Yeah. How did you find it?
It was crazy. It was like I was half hanging onto a bus that was going and I still wasn't inside, but it was a good journey. I mean, it distracted me from stuff. It learnt, taught me stuff. It was good. I mean, it was crazy, but I had a saying for, you know, when I tried to do shows that long weekend, you can accept fate or you can pee in the eye of the hurricane. I saw that in a movie. I don't know what that means, but the long weekend was the hurricane. My show was the pee-pee. And, you know, having a show over the long weekend where there's seven people over 70 and eventually they walk out, but, you know, you're just having fun. I'm not going to be on cruise ships. And when Glenn was opening for me and he had a joke about Bukkake, they're like, buck what? They don't know what that means, if I'm allowed to say that word.
It's all right.
And he, for OS and H or OHS, they he, Glenn didn't do the stroke joke because people were over 70. It's like, how do I win these elderly people over? And it was like elderly it's like I was winning elderly magic chairs or whatever. So I eventually kept walking out. But it's like, I've had fun. I've still got your money. This was an experience. No cruise ships for me.
I think it's good when you get a diverse audience as well. And, yeah. You know, we can sometimes get people in their 70s coming to our shows. The audience that we very, very rarely get is anyone under 25. Don't know why, but, okay. Yeah, just – yeah. I think maybe because we're more suburban based rather than city based. I think that's probably the key to it all. So.
Well, it was just 7 over 70 and I'm just thinking, how do I win these old people over? Like
that could be a show, you know, that 7 over 70. It's a good name.
It is quite catchy actually, yeah. 7 over 70. And does that mean I'm at the front of the Fringe World Guide? Because before the before perhaps. Letters. Yeah. 7 for 70 and just
it could work.
Yeah.
Oh, so when you started off in comedy, you started to grow, obviously, with it. I know that you're very well loved in the comedy scene as well. Everyone always speaks so highly of you.
Oh, thank you. But, I mean, it's nothing on Glenn. Glenn's like my Buddha.
Yeah. No. Which Glenn are you talking about?
Glenn Grimwood.
Oh, yeah. He's great. Yeah.
I'm not worthy to tie up Glenn's shoes.
Oh, I don't know. Glenn, do you want your shoes tied up?
And, you know, I get jealous if I need to whinge to Glenn and there's somebody whinging to him. Stop being whiny. Find your own Glenn. That's my Glenn to whinge to.
That's hilarious. So, Jared, what about your creative process? Do you write out your jokes or how does it come to you?
I don't necessarily write. I write a little bit of notes. Oh, there's an idea. But half the time just happens, it's ticking, and I like to try things on stage.
Yeah.
You know, some people write things out and they've got them. I'll just try something on stage and then it tweaks eventually.
Yeah, and just keep doing the same thing until you master it, or is that?
Honestly, I don't really have a technique. It's just ADHD. Like somebody asked me, could you have a look at the jokes just to make them punchy with writing? Is it okay?
Yeah.
And I said, not that it's okay, but where are my jokes? Just pointed to my head and directed them to more of a writer, because I'm probably going to start writing down more stuff just because I've got to be, you know, just as part of a process. But, yeah, I'm not that organized. Nothing wrong with that. Just it's so.
No, it's just a different process. And I think so many people have a different way of doing things. There's no wrong or right in it.
Well, I just do look. If it goes good, it goes good. It goes bad, it goes bad. I think part of the ADHD thing, I'm not focused on the crowd.
Mm.
You know, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but, you know, it would be if you're trying to do crowd work or, you know, some people may make magic of concentrating that one person, I'm going to turn it around. I just do the ADHD thing.
Yeah. Hey, and tell us a little bit. You recently did a little bit of a very funny video with Ronan Freeman.
Yeah.
With taking your shirt off in the middle of the city for HBF. How did all that come about? That was hilarious, by the way.
Yeah, well, thanks. That was due to Ronan. He's been a mate for a while. He said, hey, do you want to be part of this HBF skit? And, you know, it's really handy because he's done everything writing, filmed it with Levon, so it's just turn up. And it's just, yeah, he said, do it, what you got to do. Look, you know, I'm going to write you a ticket that you can only wear the HBF shirt on that day, take it off and walk off.
Yeah.
And I did, and I thought, okay, I'm going to walk off and take it off, and I'll walk to where the traffic lights are, and I see ladies with prams, and I walk back, please give me back my shirt. You know, you think, okay, I'm just going to look up. And then there's someone coming with pants. I need to put my shirt back on. Yeah, so that was fun.
Oh, so you felt a bit exposed.
Yeah, well, it's just like, take it off for a sec. I'm walking that way. And there's people come towards me. Why am I seeing bare man boobs? Okay, this shirt goes back on.
That was very, very funny. Very well done. I love something else you've been doing on social media. And actually, if we can do the photo together, something
yeah,
like that.
Definitely.
For your yoga poses. I love them. I'm a yogi. I love yoga so much. And I'm like, yeah, go you. So, it's so cool. Yeah, so Jared has a social media on Instagram where he does these wicked poses. It's dancer's pose, I do believe you're doing. So
I call it butterfly. Are we allowed to say that word on
the way? Butterfly.
Yeah, but yeah. The next word for the lady fart, I wasn't sure whether it was I say butterfly queef pose.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we can get away with queef.
Yeah, I'm trying to be a good boy because it's not fair to Russell to have to edit it out. So I'm being a good boy and checking my words.
Well done.
Thank you.
Oh, no, yeah, so we'll get a photo of us doing it together later. I'd love to, if that's all right.
Yeah, definitely. No, I'm always up for butterfly queef pose because I got one with Mickey J and the lady that's booking Comedy Lounge too. She can do it, and we did butterfly queef pose.
And it's actually dancer's pose. Oh, my gosh.
I like to call it that because then I had the caption, the Dalai Lama said if everyone was taught butterfly queef pose, violence would end in a decade instead of meditation. And then I put up all those poses we had done.
When I'm doing yoga tomorrow, I'm going to be thinking of the queef pose, you know. I'm like, oh, no, there goes my zen.
And then on... Then on Instagram, I did all the photos we did of Comedy Lounge with those three to Madonna, one of the songs, Vogue.
That's great. I love it. Hey, so what about COVID-19? So as a comic, it really blew our whole industry apart, blew entertainment away.
Mm.
Never thought that would happen, but it did. And you had mentioned you had family in Italy. So Italy was one of the first countries that was pretty well wiped out with COVID. So what did you learn from that?
Okay, well, people say Italy was hit because of old age, cold weather, whatnot. The one avoidable factor that they had control over, it was leaked, we're going into quarantine. Nobody listened. Went down south to the beach. COVID struck, everyone listened and stuff got real.
Mm.
There was an article in the New York Times about a town. I got family not far from Milan, Bergamo. They got the old cemetery, you know, that's used to only a couple of bodies per year, whatever. There were so many bodies they had to get the military trucks in to cremate them or whatever.
That's so tragic.
Well, the ICU started triage. If you're over 70, you don't get into ICU. It got worse. So family just said, look, when COVID hits, you listen.
Yeah.
And that was really important because, you know, March, when we went into that lockdown, there were cruise ships off the coast or whatever.
Mm.
And I just had a joke that whether you're a vile redneck or a biggest hippie, everyone could agree that, you know, the things we hated most were cruise ships. Like, they'd have F-off-we're-full cruise ships, right? They shut down all but emergency surgery in case COVID got worse. That didn't include royal biggest operation where they cut open the cancer.
Mm.
So we had to get my dad in to get that done in case it closed down and got worse. So, yeah, stuff happened during COVID, but that happens.
So, Jared, your dad had cancer during this time?
Yeah, and he, you know, had to get it open, did all the surgery. And, look, it hasn't been that bad because we didn't get a call straight away.
Mm.
You know, like, you know, if you got a call after 2 hours, pull. That's bad because that means they can't help, whatever.
Yeah.
Went longer, like 10, so we weren't that stressed. You know, they got it out, whatnot. And he's had a not bad quality of life since, you know, with cancer. So cancer sounds bad and it is.
Yeah.
But he's still doing stuff, whatnot. So it sucks.
Mm.
But, you know, with that and the suffering road people go down, I've seen a lot worse.
Yeah. Has he had to have any further treatments or?
Yeah, he all the chemo and all the stuff down at, where was it in Murdoch they do?
I'm not sure, yeah.
Yeah, at the, what's that hospital there? Fiona Stanley.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, just all the usual, but he still does stuff, you know, all the old man love, all the stuff old guys like the horse racing and go country and, you know, go out to eat, so it's good. And I learned something really cool too. You know Yum Cha on a Sunday?
Yeah.
We asked for my dad a chair because there was a line. We didn't need a chair because once we mentioned cancer, we avoided the queue.
Oh, wow. You know, so you were queue jumpers.
Now, I mean, me and Papa could have gone to the AFL Grand Final. Where's your tickets? It's Papa's Make-A-Wish. We don't need tickets. we could be up at Victoria. What's that dam up in the hills?
I think it's Victoria Dam, yeah.
There's Maren. Have a moment with Dad Cat Samaran. If a ranger comes, is he going to find us?
That's a huge fine, by the way.
I know, but get out of Instagram. This is Papa's Make-A-Wish. Oh. You can't do that. If you write the ticket, I'll call a current affair. Do you want to be one of those guys that bureaucracy gone mad? You know, a man can't have.
I love the way you're validating your bad behaviour.
Well, you know, you're not going to write a ticket. So I'll call Tracy Grimshaw. If you get chased by a reporter, they'll get your face for a minute and then you'll learn to cover it up. So don't write that ticket, please.
Is your dad in recovery now?
He's not going to recover because it's everywhere, you know, the stomach, the lungs and all that. Mm. So it's not going to get better. But the only thing I'm looking for is there's not really bad suffering. Like, you know, if he needs to go, just if that makes sense without.
No, it does make sense. How are you as a family coping with all that?
We're coping not bad. The synergies can be, you know, learning how to deal with stuff like that.
Mm.
But, you know, you get there. And the other thing is during COVID, something like that happening is one thing. It's the stuff you don't know, right?
Yeah.
My mum's got fruit trees and she was climbing one to pick fruit. Mm. I said, get out of there, and I'm too fat to get up there, so I'm not going to get up there. And she's Italian, so, you know, trust me, I'm fine all this. There's rocks and that everywhere.
Yeah.
So the only way to get her out, mind you, she's on 2 acres, was swear at her, you know, to get her down. And then she's like, you swear, you know, all this stuff. And in Easter, about a month after my dad's operation, I was at work. I get a text message from the nurse, you know, all this stuff. My mum had fallen out of the tree and they were checking her neck.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, and that's scary. So.
Yeah. Was she okay?
Yeah, she was in the end. But to get that message Easter and. Oh, trust me, you know, it was just, yeah, other stuff happens, but it does, you know.
Yeah, Jared, part of my family's Italian, so I've got in my head, you know, when your mum's telling you, if you're a very naughty boy.
Oh, yeah, she's.
And I can't do the accent, sorry, no, but my dad's half
I know,
Italian.
But trust me, and it's like, I cannot take people saying trust me to, you know, I hear it once, but yeah, if you want me to trust you, do not say that word.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah.
Yeah, no. Yeah, my dad's like half Italian. It's quite funny. So I can just hear you getting told off by your mum.
But you know, I learned patience because when your dad's having this surgery and all that, still have to deal with the general public and their lovely questions.
Yeah,
and a liquor store like, are you guys going to close? They've closed liquor stores in England and New Zealand. Well, someone hasn't used Google. No, we're going to stay open.
Yeah, I remember there was a restriction on alcohol, but wasn't there? I think there was 2 bottles limits or something like that.
There was restrictions because they wanted people to be liquored up to, you know, because people still need to drink but not be crazy.
Mm.
One thing that I didn't know, because people's relationship with alcohol is weird, right?
Mm.
Like you and Nicole will be at a party, not you two in general.
Mm.
But if you go to a pub and they poured you 2 wines, you know what a standard wine is?
Yeah.
Unless Nicole is stingy, you know, if she's poured you a glass, she's poured you a glass, and then you go, I've only had 1 glass, I'm right to drive, are you? you know, unless it's stingy.
Yeah.
Well, they give you medication in Royal Perth because more than 2 drinks a day you're addicted or something.
Oh, okay.
Or you can get withdrawals or something. I don't know exactly what it is.
Yeah.
But that was just an eye-opener because people's relationship to alcohol can be weird, but.
Yeah. And I guess everyone. I definitely started drinking when COVID hit because it messed with my head too much. And that wasn't when my kids would go to their dad's. I'd be like, right, I'm having a red.
Yeah. Well, the thing that you'll know being Italian, you would have heard this.
Mm.
There was an Italian family having, you know, Sunday pasta, and the 8-year-old took a sip of red wine. They let the 8-year-old take a sip of wine. Yeah, like.
It's pretty normal, isn't it?
Yeah. I know, but if you're not Italian, that sounds horrible. Like, they let the 8-year-old drink wine.
Mm.
And then it's like, yeah, they're learning to socialize around alcohol, whereas you're like, my little Johnny's not touching stuff till he's 18. Then there's. He's 18? Okay, little Johnny, here's your Jim Beam bottle. You're an adult.
I've not been to Italy, and I think you might have been there, but. I think as well the alcohol in Italy, it's not got as preservatives and not got, you know, it's probably a better grade of alcohol
but
that
they
children are sipping on as well.
Yeah, so but
I'm not condoning kids drink, by the way.
They're just having a sip and they're learning to socialize around it. They're not drinking. They'll take a sip. People get blown by that, but they don't teach their kids properly alcohol. And it's like, they're 18, here's your Jim Beam bottle. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just funny.
Yeah.
No, kids shouldn't drink.
Yeah, no.
No,
we're not condoning that.
No.
What was one of the things that you learnt through, because you're working, obviously. I think you were classed as a essential worker because you work in a BWS, is that right, as well? So you were classed as an essential worker. Is there anything you learnt in that journey through COVID as well?
To be more patient with the general public.
Okay.
Yeah, because people don't know about COVID and stuff. Managing yourself better, like, do you want to drink alone? Because, you know, mood-wise and all that, but it's not necessarily – oh, it's going to be really bad, but the mood keeps ticking over and whatnot.
Mm.
So, and just that it's probably time to learn to deal with things.
Yeah, that's really good advice, actually.
I mean, I've got this analogy for avoidance of problems, right? Say Marie Kondo comes to my place and my room is spotless. It's not, but for the analogy of the joke, and it's not like I've broken down a joke, but just a basic one to give you an idea. And, you know, the guru of clutter goes, where's the clutter? And I point to my head and she goes, I can't help you.
Yeah.
Which is just an analogy for avoidance of stuff and there's an avalanche and just learn you got to eventually deal with things.
Definitely. That's very good advice, actually. Thank you. Thanks for sharing that.
Not a problem.
I have some random questions for you. Are they okay to ask?
Oh, just another thing that I have to add.
Yeah.
Probably the other thing I learnt, especially last year, when things are hard, you probably don't know what other people are going through first, their battle. Like, if you can try and get some rapport with that.
Yeah.
That's really important. I learned that.
Yeah, that's really good. I think as well, I will ask you this. In terms of customer service as well, you still had people contact.
Yeah.
Which would have been nice in some ways. But then I guess you're managing their different feelings as well.
It would be scary and all that with masks because, you know, people – you know when somebody's anti because they go, I don't consent and all this, and you just be – I just learned to repeat myself and be boring. You need a mask. You need a mask, like they were going to put it on or walk off.
Yeah.
So I didn't lose my temper. Like I might want to say, oh, well, excuse me, cancer dad, and I might find that funny. Is that, you know, who's going to go up against that? You know, you can't do that. And then, oh, I would be horrible for doing that. So it's just – patience, and I learnt I can repeat myself.
Yeah.
People can either follow or back off. Ah, he's kind of repeat, I'm fleeing, so
definitely.
Patience.
Jared, where did you grow up then? What area?
I lived down in Pemberton, Manji till I was about 6.
Oh, yeah.
6 to like 9, 10 Churchlands, then the hills since.
Yeah. And the hills are pretty awesome, aren't they?
Yeah.
Very good community.
The hills are awesome.
Yeah. I do love it. Yeah, we've got lovely people up there. That's where I am as well. So, it's just nice. I love the community. It feels like a village there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some strange things that go on though. You know how Nicole was going to be a councillor for...
She was running for council. Yeah. Yep.
The Hills. I don't know if councillors cover this, but, you know, if you've got like 2 acres, you have to have the firebreak or you get fined.
Mm.
You drive up Cullamunda Road. And there's houses amongst the trees, and then there's houses with enough 5 years of leaves in the thing that if there was a fire, burn, baby, burn. It's like,
yeah,
I wouldn't want to live next to those houses. There's 5 years worth of dry leaves there.
Mm. I'm surprised I don't get cleanup orders, actually.
Exactly. Like, yeah. I can understand the fire breaks. What about, you
know, yeah,
somebody's gearing up? Well, you'd hope not, but if a fire goes through there, why didn't the firefighters save it? Well, they didn't have a plane on ready, you know, because you've left leaves everywhere, duh.
Yeah. I used to get pruning orders for my palm trees in Forestfield every single year. It used to drive me insane because, you know, that's one prong.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that, like, it was because they were too close to the power lines. So.
Well, do you know what was scary? My mum used to have a shop in Midland Gate, right?
Mm.
A cafe had a fire there.
Oh, no.
It was controlled. But you know where there's smoke everywhere?
Yeah.
My mum and, you know, other staff are trying to get people with kids out. The place is, there's smoke everywhere. It was controlled. But you'd think people would go outside. They were trying to push forward with kids. Oh, what happened?
No way. Smoke.
Yeah.
So they were trying to head towards the fire rather than away.
Well, it wasn't a bad fire. It was controlled. But smoke in an enclosed area, you think they'd back off?
Dangerous, yeah.
Get me the old hockey strap. When I used to do trolleys, I'll get the adults moving, crack at the back of the legs. I'll get them running out.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's a shock.
Yeah, I think sometimes people go into a bit of a shock and they're not sure, is this a movie and is it real? And then they don't respond in a normal, rational way, like get away from the danger.
Well, I'll get the hockey strap. I'll get the adults jumping. Go outside.
Yeah, be safe, everyone.
Yeah, I saved the day.
Wow. What sort of shop did your mummies have?
Actually, she's still got it. She's Giftaway Expressions, Cards and Gifts.
Oh, and is that still in Midland then?
Yeah, it's opposite Sanity there.
Oh, there we go. Give her a bit of a plug. It's good. I'll have to go check her out.
Yeah.
Sorry, a really random question for
you.
If you were a character in a book or in a TV show, who would it be and why?
Who would it be and why?
Mm-hmm. Do you have a favourite character or favourite superhero?
I don't know. I used to watch MacGyver growing up. So let's say MacGyver.
MacGyver's wicked.
MacGyver's like the good guy who would hit a guy with a gun, shake his fist like, don't use guns, and then he had to be smart to sort out things. So
yeah, and his car kit was awesome.
Yeah. The one true MacGyver, Richard Dean Anderson, not the remakes.
Yeah. Right? But I haven't seen the remakes. You're talking like the 80s, 90s sort of. I think it was 80s.
Well, there's MacGyver and then there's some new kid reboot, but just the one true pure MacGyver.
Yeah.
But then your heart gets broken because have you seen that meme where where Richard Dean Anderson's got a flat tire and he's called the guy out to.
No.
That broke my heart. No, Richard Dean Anderson, it's not you, it's a fake.
He could like blow up anything as well, couldn't he? Like make it get out pretty of much. Any
but no one
situation.
Died. It was like a good explosion to save the day and
absolutely. Yeah.
Help people.
It was
yeah.
a good show, it was a feel good show.
It was.
And he always won. It was good.
It was always good always overcomes when you don't use guns, you use your head and you just incapacitate people but don't kill them is what I learned.
Brains over brawn.
That's my life. That's how I try to be MacGyver. I just don't have the mullet.
I do like that. MacGyver's cool. All right. Have you ever been injured and what was the dumbest way? Like,
do you know Panoramic Terrace in Kalamunda?
No.
It's on the escarpment before
Foster. Oh, yes, I do.
You know how beautiful.
Yeah.
You know how steep that road is, right?
Yes.
I had a friend that lived on there. We used to roll tyres down there. They'd probably, because it was quite straight, they'd probably be going, what, maybe 80, 90 kilometres, right?
Yeah.
At the bottom, you'd throw out an old bike and there'd be an awesome collision.
Boys will be boys.
Exactly. One time this tyre's coming down, right, so it's probably going about 80, 100, I don't know, right?
Yeah, fast.
Yeah, fast. About 20 metres out, I throw out an old bike. Problem is they didn't just bang, collide and have a crash. The tyre went perfectly off the handlebars, came and smacked me in the head. My head just went docking at the pavement.
Oh, my God.
I had tyre marks all over me. My friend Dad probably should have took me to hospital for concussion, but he was trying too hard to breathe.
Oh my God. So you were hit in the head.
Yeah,
with
I had a tyre mark.
Going
that fast. Treadmarks hit the road and he's just trying to laugh. I'm walking around in the daze.
Oh, you poor thing.
That's when that stopped becoming fun.
Oh, my gosh. So you got hit in the head with a tyre and then hit in the head with a road, I'm assuming, when you hit the ground.
It was going so fast, it would just tonk. So I haven't had an accident at 100 k's an hour, but I've had a tyre hit me at 100 k's an hour.
Oh, my God.
I was seeing stars.
Yeah, I can imagine.
That's probably the most random way I've been injured.
That's very random.
But if you're from the hills, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
We're not rolling tires down, but making fun of being in the hills.
Yeah, that's quite extreme. That's extreme sports. And future soccer champion here.
No, I've had too many concussions to the head for that. They wouldn't let me play. I had the concussion to end all concussions and didn't get that checked out.
Well, another time you had another concussion.
No, not that I'm aware of, but I've had the mother of all concussions. Yeah,
twice. Has anyone ever, I've got another one here. Where is it? Has anyone ever tricked you into believing something and getting you to do something, but it wasn't real? So I've had someone tell me about catfishing on the story before, or, you know, basically telling you, like, I guess like Santa Claus, made you believe in something, but it wasn't actually a real thing.
Well, I mean, honestly, growing up, movies made me believe that, oh, wait, no. I'm sure there's one, but something that comes to mind, I don't know, there's probably been so many that my mind goes blank.
Yeah.
Like the one that sticks out.
Yeah. No, that's all right. We can move on.
But I know there's been a thousand just like.
What was it like in high school then? Like, where did you go?
I was actually at Masnod College, right, which is, you know, one of those private schools where if you go to Trinity, you go, I heard it was this much a year. I know. I've got an analogy. Have you seen the movie The Wanderers?
Yeah, that's cool.
The Warriors, right?
Yeah.
If they were looking up where's Masnod, they'd be looking down the list of private schools. You know, like the gangs?
Yeah.
Like we had in my year an AFL player, you know, go through, and I think the school would have been bragging about that for 7 years until they got the cease and desist letter. Or he actually won the academic scholarship and everyone's mind's blown about, what about the smart kid just to have a sports and academic?
Oh, did you enjoy going there, Pop?
I enjoyed my friends being there. I wasn't much of a school person per se, but it's good to have friends there.
Yeah, yeah. I've only ever heard good things about it.
I have a story about open day, but I should probably – I'll tell you, and then if you want, you can delete it out if you want. Or,
okay, yep.
All right. For open day, I had to take people around the school, right?
Yeah.
Everything was good, metalwork, firework. Then we get to the priest residence. The lady asked three times, did the priest do anything you know, right?
What was she meaning?
Well, that's what I asked, and she said, she goes, they don't molest boys, do they? And I said, not that I'm aware of, right?
Yeah.
Then the principal of the school, who was a rector, was there. He had it looks like he had an old Hessian sack on and a wooden cross, like he was about to go to the South Pacific and convert missionaries, right? I don't know how else to describe it. Had the two deputy principals on each side. And he said, Jared, my son, how did it go? I said, not good, father. And he goes, Jared, my son, tell me. And I just said, I told him what she said because he said it's okay. His face went red. The assistant principals on two sides were trying not to lose it. I just fled before I got killed. So that's how it happened. I didn't want to get more
trouble. Going to kill you, but it's a random question for an adult to ask a child on a school tour.
Well, that's what I got to ask. I mean, maybe it was karma for me being naughty in the first place and then being asked to take people around.
I thought that was because you had good standing. You know, you're a good student. You're well-liked. The teachers are putting faith in you.
No, it's because it was instead of detention, do this. And I thought, that's probably not the best way you pick this.
I think they liked you, Jared. I see that as a reward. Like, we're proud of this student.
I'm going to take that on board. And it wasn't because of the detention.
I wouldn't believe so. What was I going to ask you? What is one of the craziest things you've ever done?
I mean, just in general, to overcome fear of heights, I just went and did the bungee jump at Adventure World.
Oh, I've done that. As yeah. Hell.
Yeah, well, I didn't go with friends because I just wanted to do it, so I went with my dad. But the problem was, you know, when you fall off?
Yeah.
I was swearing so much and a lady was upset with me. I got kids everywhere. I'm sorry, but I'm scared. Like, you know, I can't control the swearing.
So you went up? Did you get the chicken shirt or did you get the jump?
No, I jumped because...
Hey, well done.
Well, going all that way up, how the hell would...
It's a lot of stairs, right?
Yeah, how would you get down and just a shaking? Just don't think, do.
Yeah, I just thought, you know, not doing it and getting that chicken shirt would be the worst thing in the world.
Getting down too.
Yeah, yeah, there's a lot of stairs.
Yeah, and it's like, don't think, just do, hello.
How did you jump up? Because obviously you're scared. Did you jump out properly? Like, you know how they say jump, dive outwards and then you kind of free fall down and then...
I think I just barely stepped out. Like, I didn't... Yeah, it was just...
Yeah. I was so scared, Jared, that the guy that was doing... I was 17, was with my youth group and I was so scared I was shaking, like physically shaking, and they kept saying, are you ready? I'm like, no. And then and he's going, are you ready? I'm like, no. And he's like, are you ready? And all I'm thinking is, gosh, if I keep saying no, I'm never going to do this.
Yeah.
And then he goes, are you ready? And I went, okay. And I thought, if he says 3, 2, 1, you know, and you're supposed to scream out bungee, right?
Yeah.
And all I'm thinking is, oh, my God, if he gets the 3, 2, 1 and I don't jump, I'm not going to jump. And I'm so petrified. I'm freaking out. And so he says 3, 2, 1 and I went, bungee. And I stepped off. So I'm free falling feet first.
Yeah.
And thank God I'd said to them, don't let my head go in the water because I flick at the bottom. I'm in this massive spin. It was horrendous. But I had a great adrenaline rush from it.
How long were you up there on that, on the thing?
On the platform?
Before you did it.
Way too long.
Yeah, no, that would be scary if you just thought about it too much. So I'm just... Don't think, just do. That's my world.
I kept letting everyone else go before me because I was like, oh, my God, this is, like, really scary. I am scared of heights and I keep trying to beat that fear. I've been skydiving. That's much better.
Yeah.
But, oh, no. Bungee jumping didn't help me conquer my fear.
Would you have you been down to Pemberton?
Yeah, I love Pemberton.
Yeah, would you climb the
– Gloucester Tree?
Yeah.
I have.
Wow, because I couldn't do that because there's no –
It's so scary. The only reason I got up the Gloucester Tree is because my sister is my she's like my rock, and there's 20 months between us. She was behind me talking me up the whole way, and I was driving her crazy, but my hands was pouring with sweat. I was so petrified, and I thought, how am I going to get down? And she goes, well, I'm not going below you. You're going to have to get yourself down. And I'm like, oh, my God, they're going to have to rescue me.
Yeah. So. I'm not bad with heights now if it's safe, like the bridge climb or whatever.
Yeah.
But something like that, nah.
Oh, it's really scary. And it's quite big gaps between the rungs.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you fall off, you just fall off, right? Or is there safety things there now?
I don't know. You don't hear of too many people falling, but.
But didn't they just have the rungs? Like, what happens if your hand slipped? There's no safety rail there, is
nah.
there? Yeah.
Oh, you're pretty stuffed. No, it was I used to love climbing trees, but I fell when I was 4, so that's where my fear came from for heights. But yeah, I've never beaten it, but I still keep trying to.
Oh, if it's something like that, I won't do, but if it's safe, you know, Sydney Bridge climb or something, I can do it.
Have you done the Sydney Bridge climb?
Yeah. Well, I actually did it, and I actually got to do it for free because the one that I was on, lightning struck and we were about 10 metres away from the top.
No way.
Yeah. And to, you know, do it, they said, look, you can either do another one or a refund. And it's like, I was going the next day, so I got a refund.
Yeah.
And I pretty much did it, but it's 10 metres away.
Yeah, that's really cool, Val.
Yeah.
I lived there for 5 years and never did it. So. But, how did you find it? Was it quite...
It was fun. I mean, at night, all the skylights.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think with the bridge climbing, pretty secure. They've got safety belts and you're kind of safe, aren't you?
And and there's not, you know, these gaps you have to do. Just don't look down too much if you're terrified. Just enjoy it.
Yeah. Look out.
Yeah. There's no weird hard climbing and all that.
Yeah. How are you with glass bottom, like, you know, the clear flooring? I cannot go up. I've been up on heights and I've done that in Sydney and there's a floor, oh gosh, that's 40-something.
The one, yeah. No, I've been up there. That's fine.
Holy crap. Nah, I am petrified. Like my knees collapse under me, petrified. It's so bad, but you can do it.
The one that's like 50 floors up?
Yeah.
No, I've done that one.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Oh, no, I know the one that you're talking about. You're talking about the one that's new?
No, I did the old one.
Yeah, the old one.
I'm not volunteering to do them again. They're too scary. Psychologically, no, I don't believe I can fly. And I feel like with those glass bottom things, if it gives that sense of, oh, yeah, I'm walking on the air. No. I will fall. I'm like lead.
Well, it's funny when you're young and, you know, you've got confidence. Like I was 16 and you know Smith's Beach there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had my first surfboard because I've been, you know, bodyboarding. I thought I'm like a dolphin with waves. So I went out there my first time on a surfboard. Problem is your first surfboard is thick, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I went out there. The waves kept taking me out.
Oh, no.
And then instead of drowning, you know, let off the leash, I just had to go out like 2Ks to get out of the waves and then go over to the left, you know?
Yeah.
And I almost drowned. My friends were like, we thought you drowned. And that was my first time.
No one came to rescue you.
Well, there was just so many intense waves and, you know, I didn't realize how thick the board was that instead of letting go and swimming back, I went out and then.
That's scary.
No, I'm a dolphin. I'm not now. Not that I've got a super heavy surfboard and could drown.
So do you still surf?
No.
No. Was that like a phase that you went through?
Oh, just because I used to be down in Dunsborough all the times we had family down there. So, you know, just with friends. But I haven't found myself doing it for quite a while.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, but it was fun.
Yeah.
Well, you know what would have been good? That wave park until all those elderly people at the boarding club said no.
Oh, yeah, that would have been fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be built elsewhere, but there's 10 old people with bowling club. No, they just throw bowls at anyone that comes near them. Get away.
See, this is what I don't get about WA. Why would you build that sort of stuff near the beach? Why not build it in Kalamunda area? Just saying.
Yeah.
It's kind of better for us in the hills if they built something like that because then it would give access to a wider range of people that have to travel ages to the beach, right?
Exactly, and that can be Nicole's first thing as a councillor, getting the wave park in Coleman. Everyone will vote for every person under 25 to 18 will just be like, yeah.
That would be great.
Unless they're an emo or bogan or, well bogans would.
Anyone would. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
What's one of your pet peeves?
In general? I got a lot of
You can share a few if you like.
Well, just in general, I mean, the basic COVID stuff at the moment, you know, wash your hands and all that jazz, which I don't think happens with a lot of people I know.
Yeah.
You know, like it's funny, like you might be at Yum Cha with someone, you know, if you take them the first time.
Yeah.
And you know how people, you know, eat putting stuff in and someone with you will gawk over. They're not eating with their mouth closed. It's like you need to pay attention to your own plate because the last time I was in the public toilets and you were in, I'm not even sure if you washed your hands. So keep your eyes on the food and they're not necessarily eating with their mouth open, but you know how you put in the small things. It's like you need to be an adult and watch what's happening with your food because I don't even know if you wash your hands and you're worried about what's happening with their mouth. You know, they're not eating with their mouth open. It's to put a dumpling in and
Yeah. I kind of like that analogy, but as well, even if people in life generally just keep mind their own business, look after yourself and
exactly.
Stop imposing, you know, your views or your thoughts onto other people, then it'll be a nicer place.
And look, if that offends you and you're with me at the Yum Cha table, get out. Just don't say that loudly because I'm a Yum Cha diva and you're not going to muck this up for me, so you're embarrassing me. Go away.
Where's a good place to go to Yum Cha then?
There's so many in Perth. I mean, there's ones in Morley. They're opposite the Galleria. There's a heap in the city. There's heaps. Like, one of my favourites at the moment is just opposite the train station.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's called because I don't know, but there's a heap. Oh, I have a rule with Yumcha.
Yeah.
A lot of steamed and a little bit fried. Those are my rules for Yumcha.
Okay.
Like, if you bring the dessert tray around, nah, I don't dessert.
Oh, all right.
You know, like all those things, or do you want coconut nut steamed and a little bit of fried?
Okay. And then that's a good balance for you.
Definitely. I mean, I've had friends, I've taken a friend to Yumcha, and then it's like, oh, do you want to go out and have a beer afterwards? It's like, hell no. All that exotic stuff traveling around, I need to go home to the, maybe use the toilet and then nap time, you know.
You're going to have your siesta.
Yeah, I mean, if I need to number two, I'm not going to go in public after Yumcha. There's a place I go, it's called home after Yumcha. There's all these lovely foods that are a bit exotic, you know. A bit of an old man like that. No, I'm not going out after Yumcha. I need to go home, nap time, and maybe number two time too, if I can say that without... You understand?
That's so funny.
No, but, you know, I love how businesslike they're at the Yumcha. Like, you know, there won't be two rolls of toilet paper in the there'll be one like with that thick, and it's like, I respect that, but if someone's used it beforehand, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I respect the hustle that there's not 20 toilet rolls everywhere, and that just explains to me this is the place I go home.
You're going to be more comfortable.
Yeah.
Not going to get stage fright. Yeah,
exactly. The struggle is real and you know it.
Oh, it's so funny. Jared, when could people find you on your socials?
Yeah, I am on Instagram, Jared Moroney Comedy, and I've also got a comedy page, Jared Moroney Comedy.
Mm-hmm. And that's on Facebook and...
Facebook, yeah. So I'm on Insta and Facebook. If the kids type in... Jared Moroney on Facebook, comedian, my comedy page will come up.
Great.
And then Jared Moroney Comedy Insta, and there'll be all the stuff for Fringe and stuff.
Oh, that's awesome.
And thank you for reminding me, because I should be automatically saying that. Like, the kids can see me on Insta. But thank you for reminding me, and I'm very glad that you did.
No, that's okay. We've been talking a little bit about food, so what's one of the worst things you've ever eaten?
Oh, I know this. Growing up Italian, we know pasta, right? Like, you've just had fresh pasta and, you know, growing up when I was 6 or 7, I could help Nana make gnocchi. I don't remember how.
Yeah.
But it's just like, I love food and I'm a bit fat. It's like, do you have to ask me? Of course I'm going to help make gnocchi. It's just, you know.
Yum.
Yeah. And when I was 7, this dad's friend whose place was at when the tire gave me a concussion, he was English. He made spaghetti for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
By opening a can, right? And I'm only used to the fresh stuff, so I was already thinking, what the hell?
Oh, is this canned spaghetti?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it's so bad.
I got food poisoning. No, I didn't. Because, you know, you're so used to good pasta where, you know, if you bring someone to work, people go, oh, my God, this is the best pasta ever.
Yeah.
And you're rolling your eyes like, this ain't nothing. You know, because you're used to it. I drink mummy and mummy said I wasn't food poisoning. It just tastes horrible. And I've never eaten canned spaghetti since.
No, it's yuck. It's so disgusting.
If I was hungry, yeah. If I haven't eaten for 2 or 3 days, I'd probably think it was amazing. But I haven't been down that road, so I'm not going down that road, you know, obviously. And you'd assume food poisoning because you are so used to pasta. What? This is going to poison me. Help. Call an ambulance. You know, because when I was 7, I was like, Richie Rich, Mama, what's happening? It's like, what is happening?
I didn't get to have homemade pasta all that often, but we've got a family that's in Fremantle.
Yeah.
And, oh, my gosh, when they'd invite us over for, you know, lunch, wow. And the homemade sauces.
Yeah.
Just even thinking about it, I still get mouth water from it.
Well, you know,
it's so nice.
You know what was funny? I mean, I took my mum in the city to one of the ramen places and they had the big machine where they're making their own noodles. Yeah. And I thought, oh, my God. I thought, oh, no, my mum's going to be so inappropriate. And what I mean by that is she's going to want to talk to this guy trying to make noodles for an hour about it. You know, like she saw it, Mum, be cool. There's just this big machine and she'd want to talk about it for an hour.
Yeah.
Like that inappropriate, but she was cool. She played it cool. She just goes, oh, I like what he's doing.
Oh, that's really cool. Do you guys do like your own pasta sauce days and stuff like that?
Oh, like you have to if you're Italian. I didn't think there was a choice, you know. I mean.
What about sausage making day? Because that's another big tradition.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We definitely make the sausage down south.
Yeah.
And if you bring it somewhere and people hear it's pork, people go, I'm not going to eat that. Then it's on the barbie and they smell it, they're drooling. But Italians were the first to recycle because 40, 50 years ago when people were wondering where are all my long neck bottles, where are all my jar bottles going, Italians were hoarding that for sauce day.
Yeah, they were, weren't they?
Yeah. That's how you get invited to sauce day. If you're not Italian, just say to an old Italian in the garden, you don't see fruit or vegetables like that at Coles, and they'll invite you to sauce day. That's how you make friends with them. Oh.
And it's great. It's a good experience. Yeah.
And, you know, if you've never seen tomatoes, wow, I've never seen a tomato like this at Coles. Yeah, this is Nonna's tomato.
Yeah. Where I grew up in Bayswater, it was highly Italian. And yep. The lady that lived next door, we used to call her the lady next door.
Yeah.
She used to always put ice cream tub of fruit and veg over the fence for us and hang on a hook. And she was lovely. It was awesome. And then my other friends, they always had the macadamia nuts. So they used to give us, oh my gosh, so many cool childhood memories with them all. It was so good. A food, but it's around food, isn't it?
Yeah.
Good food and good people. Like, yeah, it's a very, wholesome, I think, way to be brought up.
And you notice things like, you know, there's been a war with Italians and the birds and their fruit trees forever, you know?
Mm.
Like if the birds attack Italian fruit trees, Nonna's on the ground like, Famale, no! If you're English and they attack your, you know, the birds start eating, you love that. That's like, jolly ho, we're going to have English tea and watch the birds. We'll just get our fruit and vegetables at Coles because we're English, you know? Like they think it's the best thing ever, but, you know, so perspective about birds.
I don't know. You maybe haven't been out to our orchards in a while in Bickley Valley, so they've got usually the firing of the guns.
Yeah.
So it's just – and it's quite loud.
Yeah.
But it's to scare off the birds constantly. Yeah.
Well, this is so true, and I've said this on stage. You know, if I was in the country and an Italian lady said – pasta, I'd say mangiare and eat. If it was an old Italian man that said pasta, mangiare and didn't speak English, I probably wouldn't eat it. Do you know why?
Why?
They eat birds in Italy, right?
Yeah.
So if he shoots that bird to stop it joining the trees, he doesn't just let it rot. It's going to go in the pasta sauce.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they like birds. So if an old Italian man in the country said pasta, I'd be like, no. Because they do eat birds over there, so they will go straight in the sauce.
Oh, it's your own.
But I've done that on stage in Italian. There's some Italians in the country, and it's like, we know. It's like, yeah, you know.
Funny.
If you don't know any bad Italian man that didn't speak English make you pasta in the country, you probably had parrot pasta sauce. Very likely. No, you would, because they eat birds over there. You just didn't know.
Jared, we're coming to an end of the show.
Yeah.
Do you have a joke that you wouldn't mind sharing?
How long have I got?
We've got about 8 minutes, roughly.
8 minutes?
Yeah. But have you got anything that you'd like to share? It doesn't have to be an 8 minute joke, so just any joke.
You know, one thing that I would have wanted to try, you know that analogy with a current affair?
Mm-hmm.
What if Tracy Grimshaw did that show thing? Like, I'll set it up for you, right?
Okay.
Like, you know, if I did get that fine and then I'd have to call Current Affair, I'd call Tracy Grimshaw.
Yeah. This is because you're stealing Marin from the dam.
But, you know, I'm being noble about it because I'm telling everyone it's Popeye's Make a Wish. Because you get over one line and you just get militant and have make a list. Like, because that first day when I said, sorry, my dad's got cancer and I'm apologizing, everyone's going, it's okay. And we skipped to kiss. So I'm just on a power trip. Right? Yeah. So now I need to, you know, the Rangers did a fine.
Yeah.
I called my hero, Tracy Grimshaw. I lose it when she answers, oh, my God, I thought they cryogenically frozen you. She's like, what? I thought during COVID all our heroes, you know, that weren't politicians, you, Alf Stewart, the guy that parted the Bogan Cronulla riots, you know, like flaming hell. If I can't get laid down at, you know, the surf club, you guys are going to hear about it when all the Bogans were angry. His sidekick, Harold Bishop, did that majestic chest wobble, chin wobble, no match, no, and calmed everyone down. like he would, what's his name, Alf Stewart, part of the angry Bogan Sea, but they still needed to be calmed down. So the chin wobble came in, right? So, you know, before the, sorry, I'm a bit everywhere. You know, before he, the A Current Affair reporter chases that guy, there's the background of, you know, Papa's Make a Wish, yeah, right? So there'd be the scene of my dad would have the chair.
Yeah.
I'd be getting all his old man stuff like the newspapers and that.
Yeah.
And even if he hadn't been gone to get out of the fine, I'd be saying something ochre to my dad's hat, you know, and all the old man stuff like, oh, Pa, if you're up there, Lotto 2, you know, whatever's happening, knowing the numbers. Sorry, I'm being a bit very random here.
It's all right.
I'm just going to do a normal dope because I'm a bit everywhere with that, and then you'll be editing all day. Just a joke, you know, like I love my Vino Rosso and I love Jesus, so if Jesus turned water into wine and said, chin, chin, drink up, I'd be like, salute. Not white people, they have questions. Is it organic, Jesus? Sulfides make me gassy. You know.
That's so true.
Yes, that is so true.
That's so funny. So you've been listening to Yvonne and Jared on Bounce Back, and NY Events has a number of shows coming up, so you can check us out on www.nyevents.com.au. We've also got a Fringe show and Fringe Hub coming up as well, so check us out. We have a comedy at Kalamunda on the 12th of November, and we've got one at the Hurdy, and we've got a ghost experience coming up as well at the Kalamunda Hotel. Yeah, ooh. So that's happening on Friday the 19th of November. Thank you so much. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you. It's been fun. I mean, it's just like talking to an old friend, so thank you for having me.
It's great. Thanks for everyone for listening in, and we'll see you next episode.